to open your eyes. Quit going through the storm with your eyes closed. You might miss something. He may want to show you something you ain't seen before. He might want to reveal a little bit of his glory to you. But you might miss it if your eyes are closed. Well, some of y'all just don't even want to hear it. He may want to get you to see something that maybe you haven't seen before. He may want you to understand a little bit more of him that you've never even encountered before. Maybe he may want to get into that place of your life that you said, Lord, I know that's my life right here. But if you just leave this part alone right here and work on this other part, we'll be all right. He said, no, forget about this part. Let's work on that little part. Because he wants to make you whole. He don't want to make you a quarter. He don't want to make you eighth. He don't want to make you a 16th. He want to make you whole. We got Christians, they walking around not even full. They just acting fools. He wants us to get us full, whole. But we go through some stuff, don't we? Oh, we go through. Man, we go through. Do you remember last week, last Wednesday, when we began this series? And I said, Lord, I don't know if I want to continue this one. And he said, tell them to wake up. Do you remember that? Lord, I'm awake. Hey. I'm awake. I'm awake. But he said, tell them to wake up. You remember last week I told you that we were going to discuss a couple of things from Isaiah 51. We could barely even get past verse 1. And then we started talking about how back in the day we used to wear all our clothing that was, you know, the devil had you bound. You know, the one when you started out wearing a 33 and now you're a 40. Yeah. Well, how about when you used to wear a medium and it used to look good on you? Now it don't even go over your head no more. Sometimes we got to get rid of some things, you know, get rid of some things. Or how about that members only jacket that you still got because you think that it's special. You got to wear it. You don't want to wear a sport coat. You just wear the members only and put a tie on with it. And it just counts as a sport coat. Huh? You know the one. Y'all know which one I'm talking about, right? But have you cleaned up the mess that's in there? And we weren't even talking about clothes. We just happened to get on that subject for a little bit. Remember that? Isaiah 52:1, if you would please go there. Isaiah 52:1 says, awake, awake, Zion, clothe yourself with strength, put on your garments of splendor, Jerusalem, the holy city, the uncircumcised and defiled, and defiled will not enter you again. Shake off your dust, rise up, sit enthroned, Jerusalem, free yourselves from the chains around your neck, daughter Zion, now a captive. That's Isaiah 52:1-2 in the NIV version. We started with the wake up, wake up. Don't hit snooze no more. Wake up, church. Don't hit snooze no more. Just because you need a little bit more rest, I'm going to hit snooze. You know how we do when it comes on Mondays? You know, because, you know, Sunday fun day, family day, went on a little bit too long. You know, when the fire is going real good on the barbecue pit because you put too much charcoal, you already cooked what you originally intended to cook. But you got the fire going so good, just go bring something up out the freezer or something so you can put it on the grill because it's a good fire. What kind of carries you over a little bit longer than what you would have. So in the morning, you hit the snooze button. You hit the snooze button again. You hit the snooze button again. By the time you know it, you're late. What are you late to? You're late to what your purpose to do. And if the church continues to hit the snooze button, we're going to be late. What are we going to be late to? What we're purpose to do. It's time for us to wake up. Then he said to clothe yourself. We were discussing the wardrobe. I don't know about you, but I remember back in the 80s when we used to wear those. Remember those Adidas jogging suits, huh? Come on, you know. Those Adidas jogging suits. You know, Chris, you still got it. And then you used to have those Adidas shoes that you wouldn't put the laces on. You'd just slip right in. And every time you walked, it would flip, flip, flop, flip, flop, flip, flop. Because it was cool back then. And then you used to wear those beanies, you know. LL Cool J used to come around. Some of y'all don't know about that, but it's okay. I'm just trying to get you to understand. Some of the things that you wear designates who you are. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Y'all don't want to talk to me. Y'all are still sleeping. Y'all still sleeping. Wake up. Wake up. Some of the things that go on in our life is because we've been going through the motions, but we ain't awake. We're not alert. And then we get mad at God. God, you know what I'm going through. You don't know how hard it is. Really? God ain't got it that bad, God. No, I don't want to go through that. No, I'm good. I don't even want to go to the whipping post. And it's somehow, how sometimes we go through things and it's like your enemy is searching which instrument he's going to use to beat you down. Huh? And then not only that, you can't even get away because you're tied down. You're just tied down. You're tied down. And the enemy's looking at, which one should I select? Should I select cancer? Should I select maybe just a little bit of infectious disease? Or maybe should I just go ahead and get a hold of your children? Oh, well, that one hurt, didn't it?
Yeah.
For some of us, we'll take the disease, but don't touch my kids.
Yeah.
Don't touch my loved ones. Don't touch my loved ones because you're going to bring something out of me then. You know, that's why God gave us the power and authority to lay hands. Just saying. Just saying. Hey, just because you got preachers out there that are in L.A. making all kinds of dollars, acting all kinds of foolishness. Now, they got some good work they got to do. But why you want to put preachers out there like that? Really? Because the thing is, with me, I understand that I ain't God, but maybe. Well, in some kind of sense, sometimes. But the stuff that I go through, don't put me on no TV, God. No, God, no, no, no TV. Reality show, just look at my life. Is it, right? I don't need no TV camera following me around everywhere. Just look at my life, and it'll bring you to tears. You ain't going to get no Oscar award for it. You're not going to get an Emmy. You're not going to get a Golden Globe. You will get a red nose. You will get puffy eyes. You will get to the point where just leave me in the dark because I don't want to come out. Does that describe what sometimes what we go through? And it's your life. Why mine? Why my life? Right? Come on now. Am I talking to people that are asleep or awake? Do you ever wonder, why me, God? Why? And then people tell you, you don't ask God why. Yeah, I do. Because if I ask you, you're going to say the same thing. Well, you just got to fast and pray and get understanding. No, no, baby. Ask God why. Why is this happening to me? But be ready for the response. Don't get it all twisted now and say, well, you know, it rains on the just and the unjust. That's talking blessing. Some of the things that we do are self-inflicted. Other things, they just happen because the enemy don't like you. Don't look to your spouse. Just look straight ahead. Some of the things that we go through is because someone don't like you. My question to you is, what are you wearing? Are you wearing a bullseye on the back of your head or the back of your back? Are you wearing a bullseye and on your chest because you think you're Clark Kent? Sometimes you feel like you got it all going on. You got it all together. And something in reality hits you that brings you back to real reality. Well, I had this thing down, God. I was praying. I was fasting. I was getting revelation. I was seeing all kinds of angels. Yeah, they were there to war on your behalf. They were warring for us. I was like, Lord, some of the things that I see, I don't want to see, God. I don't want to see it. Can I just... I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it. Just kind of like my kids. Why are you watching the news? So I can fall asleep. Isn't that right, Michael? 5 o'clock, I'm like, put on the news, Josh, put on the news. Josh, put on the news. Josh, like, why? You going to fall asleep? I know. The news starts watching me. My kids hate watching the news because it's the same stuff all the time. Everybody's getting killed. Someone's getting stabbed. Someone's getting in a car accident. And someone's stealing money. So all you got to do is turn on the news and say, ditto. Right? Things just happen, don't they? Sometimes bad things happen to good people. My question to you is, what are you wearing? What are you wearing? Are you wearing Jesus? Or are you wearing your circumstance? Which one is it? Yeah, some of us go to that religious mindset right away. Well, you got to wear the full armor of God. Put it on. Question to you, did you take it off? Well, it didn't fit right. Because I didn't like the helmet. You know. Did you wear the helmet by? No, you kidding me? I just put my dude together. Put my helmet on. What I'm trying to say is sometimes we forget about salvation. We get right into condemnation. And who do we condemn? Because we do not want to condemn our neighbors. We start condemning ourselves through what you're going through, your circumstance. And then what happens is, next thing you know, you're not asking God anymore to, if you could just go down. You're already down. What are you wearing? That's what the scripture's talking about. Clothe yourself in splendor. That's the good stuff. Because, you know, Mama used to buy me those shoes that were Sunday shoes. You know the Sunday shoes, Chris, because you couldn't wear them Monday through Saturday. And you had them in the closet because you didn't want to go Sunday and put those shoes on because they're the ones that hurt. They weren't the sneakers. They definitely weren't the cowboy boots you were used to running around in. They were those ones that when you put your foot in it, it would hurt. But you only wore them on Sundays. That's why you could never break them in. Not only that, you also had Sunday clothes that you couldn't wear Monday through Saturday. And every now and then, the next week, because you like to eat, it didn't fit. It not happen to you? It's just me, Chris. I guess it's just me. They used to buy me clothes, babe. I look good. Mom, can I wear it today? No, that's for Sunday. You know, it's Monday, right, Mom? And I'm going to eat a lot between Monday and Saturday, so Sunday. It didn't fit. Mijo, get dressed. It didn't fit. So you had your Sunday clothes that you wouldn't wear any other time. But you know what I'm talking about, Pope. Because back in the day, Mama said, you better go get dressed up. Where are we going, Mom? We're going to church. I wear my Sunday clothes, my Sunday shoes. You better put on that tie. A tie? Put that clip on, and then it would pinch you when you put on. Oh! So all the memories that you would have about church, you're like, I don't want to go. So then we just get out of the Sunday clothes. So just put something on. Let's go. Mama, you feeling okay, Mama? I can wear what I want to wear? Just come on. We're going to church. You just put on whatever you want. Because, you know, you put on your favorite ones. The ones that had those jeans that you had the patch. You know, that real stiff patch. Because it was your favorite jeans, but you kept on tearing them over and over because you'd always fall down anyhow. So you had that patch on there. You remember the one by? Right? Because they would have to go to the Sears and get Huskies. So you'd go to Sears and go get the Huskies. And then you can't just get rid of the clothes. You have to patch it up. And those are the patches that you would iron. You would iron it. So when you put the jeans on. So after a while, you broke them in. So that was your favorite. You put those on. And then your Converse that you used to wear. So you put your Chuck Taylors on, you put on a t-shirt because you just wanted to be comfortable, then you would go. That wasn't Sunday best, but that was what you liked, and that's what you put on, but you went. The attitude shifted because you were able to put on what you wanted to put on. Oh, you're not hearing me. Some things are making you feel the same way. I don't want to do this. We throw tantrums. Y'all don't do that? Jennifer, I guess it's just me. Girl, I just throw my tantrums. You go in that closet. And you're, really? Again? Okay. Yeah, I could. No, can't wear that one. That don't fit no more. I could possibly do this. No, I can't button those pants. But if I put that, nope, that shirt has a stain. I don't know what I'm going to wear to church today. But we go through this because we're trying to figure out what we're going to wear just to get to where we're going. Isn't your battle the hardest just getting to church? Amen. 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 You can talk real to me. It's okay. Because, you know, hell breaks loose.
Yes, it does.
It does. It sure does. Oh, it does. Oh, it does. Because that's when the crazy person just jumps right in front of you just to get the parking spot and both of y'all come into the same church. But I'll just leave it at that. I'm going to stay over here, Josh. What are you wearing? What are you choosing to put on? Huh? The Bible says, and I'm just in Isaiah, I still can't get out of it, Baya. Just saying, put on your splendor. Put on your best, your Sunday best. And just get there. But here's the thing that Isaiah is talking about what the Lord is saying to Israel, the church that is in captivity. Yeah, y'all missed that. Do you understand what is being said in the scripture? Huh? This is the prophet Isaiah speaking. Who's he speaking for? God. And God is saying to the people of Israel, put on your Sunday best. Put on your Sunday best. Put on some good clothes. Get ready. Hello, God. Did you know that I'm a slave right now, right? You know that I'm held captive right now, right? You know that, right? You know I'm being captive. You know that I'm right now. I have somebody that has something over my neck right now. You know I'm being captive. But God said, no. Put on your Sunday best.
Amen.
Put on your Sunday best. Put it on. No matter what you're going through, put it on. No matter how bad it is, put it on. Don't matter how bad you getting whooped up and down, left side up, you got tore up from the floor up, and nobody even wants to look at you do no more because you're all busted and disgusted. But he's saying, no, put on your Sunday best. Put it on. Why? Can God speak to you that way? He's telling you, I know what you're going through. You think that you got me by surprise? Put on your Sunday best. Why? Get prepared to where you're going. The old adage was, Zig Ziglar, you know the one. Zig Ziglar was to come in. You got to dress for the position you see yourself in. And you got to come in and dress the part. You got to dress for success. My question was, when you ain't got no money, what you going to do and how you going to dress? It's not how or what you put. It's how you wear what you're wearing. How are you wearing what you're wearing? Are you wearing like... I made it to church, God. What you going to do? Oh, y'all don't do that?
Yeah.
Don't lie to me. You're in church. There's a cross. Yeah. You get, sometimes you just get in the presence of God. Like. For those listening on the podcast, I'm making a face that says the same thing that you thought when I said it. Really, God? You want me to come into your presence? After what I just went through, you don't know how they talked about me today at work. You don't know how mad I got today when Sister So-and-so sat in my seat. You don't know. She know I'm Deacon So-and-so. That's been my seat for 18 years. Katrina, they don't know. Katrina, Sometimes we just got to go to God and be real because He's Daddy. So, well, God, you don't know. And then He responds to you. He responds to you, and we don't like it. Because He says, I know you're enslaved right now. Put on your Sunday best. Regardless of what you're going through, put it on. Put it on. But God, I don't want to go. It's, you know, I couldn't pay my bill, but I can't go, God. I don't have enough gas. And this is what God's going to tell you. If you would have tithed consistently. Oh, I lost a few of them there, James. Lost a few of them, Katrina. Like, oh. I told you this church about money. What you going to fight with if you ain't following through with the scripture? Huh? What you going to fight with? The Lord's going to bless me. Must be broke. I'm still stuck in 2007. My blessing still ain't come yet. But I'm just going to just trust God. Just trust God. I'm not going to go to church no more because I can just watch it on TV. Because I am the church, and He calls me Zion, so He says I'm beautiful. But when my blessing gonna come? How you wearing Christ? There's many profess Jesus, but how are they wearing it? How are they wearing that they love Jesus? Come on. I want everybody to close your eyes right now. Real quick. Just a little thing. I want you to think of the person that you run away from every time you see them. That you don't want to talk to. Did you see them? Open your eyes. Don't look anywhere. If they're here, don't look at them. Don't look at them. What I'm trying to say, because the moment you close your eyes to the one that you try not to be around or talk to, that's the one that gets on your nerves. Right? Because either, oh, Jesus, help me. You got my back, God? Woo, I feel them coming, Lord. I feel them coming. It's getting hot in here. But the one that you visualize right away is the one that either comes to you all the time and always wants to just... Did you know about so-and-so? Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear about that one girl that was... You heard about that one, right? Or maybe the one when you were like, okay, the one that I don't, and you close your eyes like, uh-oh. That's Sister So-and-so that always has to preach to me. Gee, mama. Like she's got this deep revelation that she wants to share with me, but she doesn't know what it means. She heard it on TBN, so she wants to share with me. And, you know, you just kind of, oh, here she comes, or here he comes, or the ones is like, oh, here they come. You know the ones. The theys are the ones that come in the... The theys are the ones that come right at you, and they know you. They got your number down. They got that thing on readout. Click, click. Sister Baya, I need to talk to you a little bit. Sister Baya. Sister Bai, I know you're still making all those baked goods. Sister Bai, can you help me out a little bit? Sister Bai, can you help me out a little bit? Can you help me out a little bit? Sister Bai, yeah! You're not going to help me? I thought you were a Christian. Is that right? Huh? Haven't you? You know who they are. You're green, green. Don't pink it up. Don't do it.
Hello. I knew it was you.
How do you know? I was praying. I knew it was you. It's the first of the month. Yes. I can't let you hear the other side because it's private. Till I don't do it. Okay. How bad is it? Okay. Well, my question is to you, where you been the past 2 months? Or you've been that busy. You've been that busy that you couldn't. Oh, but now that it's the first of the month, now, okay. Hey, you know what? Let me get back with you. Let me pray on it. You know, that person on the other line is already going, beep, 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 beep. Thank you. You know what I'm talking about? You know the ones. They call you. Hey, 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 you know, it's Christmas time. Hey. You know which ones they are because they're always calling you. Just trying to tell you. Now close your eyes. The ones that you can't wait to see when you first walk in to that place is like, oh, you know they're going to lift your spirits. You know they're going to speak good things, and it's just a joy to talk to them. Okay, open your eyes. The difference is what they're bringing to you. Do you see? The first one is the content that's coming to you. Like, ooh, hey, hey. Ooh, ooh. You know, I see you coming down the supermarket. I'm going that way. And, you know, we see each other on the side of our... and act like the phone... Oh, hello, how you doing? Yes, yeah, sister, yeah. Uh-huh, I'll pray for you right now. And then all of a sudden it starts ringing like, oh, shoot. Oh, we must have got disconnected or something. But the one that you just saw, the one that always brings good news and brings you, like, lifts you up, that's the one that you're like, hey, you got a minute to talk? Boy, it's been a rough day today. Yeah, but you know what? God got me through the last one. I know he's going to get me through this one. And I know he's going to get you through the same thing because he's not a respecter of person. Not that I want to preach to you, but I know he's done it. All we got to do is keep believing together, and we're going to stand together, and we're going to believe by faith, right? What is that person wearing that the other one wasn't? They're wearing Christ. The other one is wearing their issue. Do you see that? Did we get it? We're just still on verse 1. Just trying. This is just... That was last week. That was last week. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jesus. Yeah. Let me move on. Let me move on, because y'all looking at me like, Pastor, well, I want to tell you that today's message, today, is a message that I believe is going to tie right in. And we're still on Isaiah 52, verse 1. I'm going to read it again. But today's message is, I'm coming down with something. How many of you have come down with a cold or pink eye? Yeah. How many of you have come down with something before? How many of you have come down with a stomach bug? Mm-hmm. And you know, people get around you, they know they're going to get it. So I want you to look to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, watch out. I'm coming down with something. Now look to your other neighbor and say, watch out. I'm contagious. I said, I'm contagious. Hallelujah. Isaiah 52:1-2. Awake, awake, put on strength, O Zion. Put on the beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down. Say it with me. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. That's in the King James Version. It is time for us to rise up so we can sit down. It is time for us to get up so we can sit down. Where are we supposed to sit? Because when you're down, you're in a position that you can't see straight. You can't see above your circumstance when you're down. You're in a situation in your life that you can only see what's in front of you. I can see you right now because I'm in an elevated position to look down. How is it that I can't see you, Katrina? Because there's something in my life right now that I can't see beyond. Is the circumstance of my life just obscuring my view of where I'm supposed to go? Am I down somewhere in my circumstance that I can't see beyond where I'm supposed to go? I may kind of look like Moses did when he saw the burning bush and kind of looked to the side to get a different look. And he saw something different. He understood something different. But sometimes we just got to get to a place of elevation so that we can look up above our circumstance. The trick of the enemy is to keep you down. Is to keep you down. How many times have you felt like you've been so down, there's nothing you can do to get yourself up? He's got you in a place where he wants you. He wants to keep you down. But God is saying to arise. But isn't it just a little odd? Chris, stand up. Now sit down. That's what the scripture said. Is God crazy? What is he trying to say? He's saying, I'm going to get you out of your circumstance. Get up. But now I'm going to sit you down. Because now I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. In other words, I'm going to lift you up out of your circumstance. I'm going to lift you up out of your circumstance. Go to Mark 5. Mark 5. Verse 40. Mark 5, verse 40 and 41. Watch, I'm going to show you proof of what he's going to do. Proof. Mark 5, are you there? What verse did I say? Andele, y'all are listening. But, okay. Mark 5. I want you to look at verse 40 where it says, but they laughed at him. Had people been laughing at you? Has people been laughing at you and kind of snickering and smickering and doing all kinds of stuff at you because you're professing Jesus, but Jesus isn't coming through? Has he not really come through for you? Not the little one, not the crumb, but the real blessing. Have you ever seen that people begin to mock even Jesus that's in you? Begin to challenge your faith in him? You're not hearing me because... That's what happens when the enemy is getting you down. He's getting you to the pits. He's getting you as low as he can get you. And he's going to mock the God that you serve. It's just, but they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went there with the child. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which means little girl, I say to you, get up. She was dead. She was dead. Is some things in your life not producing? Are there some things in your life you're just not seeing the fruit of your labor or your prayers or your intercession or definitely your fasting because, you know, that struggles. But you ain't seen anything producing. It's something that's just dead and dormant. So he's going to step into your circumstance. The thing was that they laid the daughter down on her bed in a room. And when he came, he put everybody else out. Sometimes we got to get people that don't belong in your circumstance, that don't belong in your ear, that don't belong there. They just don't belong. They want to get into that place of your vulnerability and keep you down. Sometimes, watch this, he kept mama and daddy in there. And then he brought in these three knuckleheads, called disciples, brought them in to see, to watch, to learn of his deity and who he is. That they even begin to think, well, who is this? This child is dead. But he took her by the hand, Talitha kumi, get up. And she got up. Now death was no longer a circumstance in her life. Scripture says that she got up. Got up. When God speaks to you, to do something in the midst of your circumstance, do not delay. Do it so that you can get up out of there. Hallelujah. Don't stay in the midst of it just because I got to pray and wait on Jesus. No, he spoke it. Do it. Get up. Get up out of your circumstance. When she got up, not only did she get up out of death, she got up out of her bed that held her bound. Well, you don't hear me. Some things that you think are there to keep you comfortable sometimes keep you bound. Just the same. You can cut that off. Sometimes we get in bed just to get comfortable, and that can be the one thing that's going to keep you there. Yeah, it'll keep you there because you don't want to face the reality, and you want to face what's actually there. But he's saying to you, get up. Get up. We've got to get up. Now, when I used to do hotel renovations, I was always in airplanes, always flying all across the country. Here, there, Orlando. I was going San Diego, going to Tucson, going to New Mexico, coming back. But every time I would come back, the planes would make the same route back to San Antonio. The same route. I would know when I was getting close because I'd be coming down 35. And I can see Canyon Lake. Well, there's Canyon Lake. I'm getting closer. I can see Canyon Lake. And then I would go over the quarry that I knew was off of 281. Oh, here we come. We're getting closer now. And then we'll do this turn. I could say, ooh, there's Fiesta, Texas. I am almost home. Oh, Jesus, I'm almost home. I can't wait to get home because I know I'm going to have some rice and gandules when I get home. I'm going to call Mama. Mama's going to come make me some food when I get home. And when I walk into my house, I know everything's going to be okay. Amen. You know, we took, what was it, a seven-day cruise? We took 7 days. I could not wait to get home. Sleep in my own bed. Because it fits me just right. And the pillow. You know the pillow. But if you go a little bit to the left, it's too high. If you go all the way to the right, it's too high. But if you go right in the middle, oh. Oh, good about seeing. Yeah, that's it right there. That's it. And not only that, when you get home from being away, you begin to smell your home because it all has a smell. It's an aroma that when you get home, I'm home. For some people, it's chorizo and egg. My son can be in a dead sleep. He smells that chorizo cooking. Daddy, what are you making, Daddy? They just know. They just know. Jeremiah, what's your favorite food my mama makes? Huh? What does she make? That's your favorite food? Gumbo. Now, when she starts cooking gumbo, you know she's making it, right? You can tell when she starts making it. Ooh, mama's making gumbo. Let me help you out. I'm going to help you. Jeremiah, when she starts making gumbo, you need to call Pastor. Call Pastor. Yeah, call Pastor. I'm telling you, Jeremiah. I'll help you out with that. We'll make sure she makes enough, okay? Now watch this. Watch this. What I realized is that everywhere that I was flying, I was in a circumstance in my hotel renovation that brought so much stress on me. The stress of being away from home. The stress from being away from the things that bring me comfort. But it made me realize something when I was coming into the city. As much as these problems were big in my eyes, at that level of altitude, looking down into this city, my hometown, I knew God sees something different. He looks at my problem the same way that I looked at it from coming from the plane. Why? Because God sits enthroned above the earth, looking down, saying, your problem? I got. Amen. Get up. Get up. Sometimes he has to go into that private place. Shut the door behind him. That everybody that is watching maybe don't need to know what you're going through. Maybe you need to just learn to shut the door. Get some people out the way that don't need to be connected to you. Because every time you're connected to them, they start bringing you down. You know what I'm talking about. You don't. Sonny, stand up, please. Stand up, please. Have you ever had someone that you know, they just kind of bring you down? They just kind of bring you down? They just kind of, watch it. They just bring you down and bring you down. They get to the point, they just get on your nerves. But we want to do the Christian thing. We want to love them. kind of love them. But if they're not there to help you get to your destiny, you need to cut them jokers loose. Loose. Because if you don't cut them, they're going to suck you dry and they're going to suck the life right out of you. Those are called suckers. How many of you like rose bushes? I don't either because of the thorns, but like the flower. But the best way to get your roses to really bloom, you got to cut some stuff off. But watch this. It's the same rose. But in order to make the bush or the trees get bigger and fuller and deeper, you got to cut some things off. Still the same rose. In other words, some people in your life, just because you're Christian doesn't mean that you have to be with them. Sometimes you got to realize, are they going in the direction that God has called you? And now if you're called to go in a direction, not everybody's going with you. No, not everybody. No, not everybody. Matter of fact, most of the times it's just a few. So he says, shut the door. Shut the door. Because I'm about to do a work in you. And when I do the work in you, now I'm going to tell you to get up. Get up out of your circumstance. Don't let the circumstance define you and define what you're wearing. I didn't forget about that. I forget about that. We wear our circumstance all the time. Watch this. Oh, watch this. You ever run into a military person? You know they're military. You know it. Because they've been trained for so long to do things a certain way. So they do things methodically. And they do things the same way all the time for a reason. They've been trained. Have you ever been around someone that just, okay, sarah, whatever it is. Huh? You know it. Because they're usually late showing up. You hear me? Or they're the ones that you got to pick up the load on the job for because they don't always do what they're supposed to do. You hear me? Sometimes you got to cut them loose so that you can go further, grow deeper, and get stronger and be fuller. Oh, good word, Pastor. I know. Thank you. That was good, Pastor. All right. I want you to go to John 5:8, please. John 5:8. The Gospel of John, chapter 5, and verse 8. Are you there? All right. Out of the NIV, it says, then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. He's telling this to a lame man that was sitting there on a mat all his life. But he says, get up and pick up your mat. Now, do you notice the difference? He didn't tell the little girl to pick up your bed. But this older man that had been in his infirmity for so long, get up, pick up that thing, and be on your way. Quit going back to that same old place you always want to go to just so you can get handouts. So you can get some pity. Just so you can get some, ay, mijo, mira tú. What do you want for me to cook for you today? We don't need no more pity. Get up. Pick up that bed. Pick up that mat. And let's move on. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is something God is trying to tell us, that we need to get up and we got to get going. Get up. Chris, stand up. And sit down. Doesn't that seem strange?
I'm going to work up.
Doesn't that seem strange? Now, watch this. God, at times, will have you stand up to see and sit right back down to get a glimpse of what's ahead. Get up, I want to show you something, Chris. Get up, Chris. Get up. And sit down. Okay, when he says get up, I'm going to get up and I'm going to stay up this time. So, get up, Chris. Sit down. Do you see? Now, you see, what happens is he's training us that you're in your circumstance, but you got to see something at a different altitude. And what it is that the enemy is trying to take your praise away and try to get everything that God has given you and try to take it away to keep you down, that you won't praise God. You won't get up to give him praise. You won't get up to stay in his presence. You'll always stay down. But he's saying, get up, get up. Now sit down. God is speaking to Isaiah about Jerusalem. And he's telling him, get up and sit down. Get up. Ain't nothing changed, God. Things are still the same. But I'm giving you scriptures now what Jesus was telling some people. Some people, he said, just get up. Oh, he said, get up now, pick up your mat. He's addressing certain things, but you notice he's addressing two different age groups. Now, I'm going to talk to the little girl that just got saved. Yeah, okay, you're a young Christian. Get up. Go with your pastors so they can help you, teach you. Now I'm going to go to the seasoned Christian. Get up and pick up your mat. Boy, you already know better. Get over there and start doing what you're supposed to do. Do you see the difference? Get up and pick up your mat. Pick up what you have been dragging along all along and quit leaving it for everybody to see. Pick it up, get rid of it, and move on. No, they don't want to talk to me, girl. They don't want to talk to me. They don't want to talk to me. Get up. Told you. Look to your neighbor and say, I'm coming down with something. Watch out, I'm contagious. Amen. Now watch this. Go to Matthew 17:7. Matthew 17:7. You there, say amen. Matthew 17, verse 7. Now watch this. I'm going to read it, verse 1. Hold on a second. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. Is God leading you somewhere? Huh? Is he leading you somewhere? Well, watch this. There he was transfigured before him. His face shined like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. What you wearing? Just then there appeared before him Moses, Elijah, and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter, my brother Peter, I love my Peter. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up these three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. What did it say there? Obey. Listen to him. Now watch this, verse 6. It's ironic how number 6 is the number of men. He's also talking to the men that were with him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came down and touched them. Get up, he said. Don't be afraid. What I'm going to share with you here on this one, Jesus will come down out of the presence of his Father in the glory, come out to come and touch you in the midst of your fear. Are you facing something that is bringing fear? Like maybe this cancer is cell that don't want to go away, keeps threatening to come back. But God is saying, I'm going to come down off of my throne from being with my Father, and I'm going to come and touch you and tell you to get up. Don't be afraid. I'm here with you. I'm here with you. Is there something that you're facing that has you so terrified? Maybe somebody got a report, and the report is not favorable. God is saying, I will come and I will touch you, and then say, do not fear. Get up. Get up. Get up. In other words, I'm going to get you out of that circumstance. I'm going to get you up out of that circumstance. Get up. Get up. I'm going to change your position. I'm going to change your position. That position is not going to be the same where you used to be. Regardless of what was written down, regardless of what was spoken over you, I'm going to change your position. Because he came off the Mount of Transfiguration, and he's going to transfigure you to the place of position. Do you understand that? He's going to change what you're in.
Right?
Kind of like what Ray was saying on Sunday. We're season changers because Jesus is the season, the season, not seasons, the season. It's constant and in season. Amen. So we see how now in he comes and tells his own disciples. Watch this, verse 9. And they were coming down the mountain. Coming down the mountain. Is he telling you to get up to sit down? Is he telling you come up so you can go down? Is he telling you to go up so you can come back down? Huh? Because you can't always live mountaintop experiences. You can't always stay in the valley either. Huh? You've got to have your peaks and your valleys. And when you get there, you'll see some change. But you can't always expect to have the mountaintop experiences. You've got to understand that when you go up, sometimes you're going to go up so you can come right back down. Okay. Yeah, you're just saying. Jesus will come down to you, your circumstance, your embarrassment, your shame, your guilt, your pride, your lust, and all other kinds of stuff. He'll come right down to that. He's going to get you up over that circumstance. He'll give you a different perspective because he's going to tell you to sit down. Where is he going to tell you to sit down? I want you to go to John 8, 3 through 11, please. John 8, verse 3 through 11 out of the Message Bible reads, "The religion scholars and Pharisees led in a woman who had been caught in an act of adultery. They stood her in plain sight of everyone." Kind of like most religious people, they want to put you in plain sight and tell your business to everybody. "Teacher, this woman was caught red-handed in the act of adultery. Moses in the law gives orders to stone such persons. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something incriminating so they could bring charges against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger in the dirt. They kept at him, badgering him. He straightened up and said, "The sinless one among you, go first, throw the stone." Bending down again, he wrote some more in the dirt. Hearing that, they walked away, one after another, beginning with the oldest. The woman was left alone. Jesus stood up and spoke to her, "Woman, where are they? Does no one condemn you?" "No one, Master, neither do I," said Jesus. "Go on your way. From now on, don't sin." I like how when they brought the woman, they threw her down in front of Jesus. Sometimes your mishaps and your circumstance is to throw you down in front of Jesus. He's going to get some things in your life that are going to challenge you. Challenge you. Challenge you to the point that you're going to be thrown in front of Jesus. And it's a depiction that you're going to go before the throne of grace and mercy. And that he went down to her level. Not once, but twice. And when he got up, he stood up over her circumstance and there was nobody that can condemn her. See, when Jesus stands up for you, nobody can condemn you. And he is standing up for you. He is standing for your circumstance that you're in right now. But he'll even come down to your circumstance, come down to those that are accusing you, and he'll go down and come back up. If he has to go back down again, he'll go back down again. He ain't going to quit on you. He's going to go right back down. Even if you went down that pit, you shouldn't have went down, and you know you chose to go down. He's going to go right down there with you. And then he's going to stand up over your circumstance, over your issue, over everything that has had you bound, and change is going to come. That's the Jesus we serve. He's going to stand up over your circumstance and over your accusers. It's a depiction of when Jesus is at the throne now in heaven, and the accuser of the brethren now stands to accuse you. Jesus stands because he says, "I paid the price. I shed my blood for them. Your accusations no longer have any valid. I am sitting enthroned at my Father's right hand. What does the right hand stand for? Power, authority, and blessing. Mm-hmm. So it don't matter what you're going through. He's going to be right there with you. And if even they have to get down there again, because we tend to go there again, he'll go there again with you. But he's going to stand up for you. He will stand up for you. And when he stands up for you, those that have come against you are leaving on their own volition. Do you understand? Oh, yeah, yeah. He's going to redeem people. He's going to change people. You're going to know him as your true redeemer, not just of sin, but of circumstance. He paid the price on the cross. He did that for a reason. I want you to look to your neighbor and say, I'm coming down with something. Watch out. I'm contagious. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. I want you to go to Psalm 113. 113 verse 5. Psalm 113 verse 5 out of the NIV reads, who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high? Where is he sitting? On his throne. On high. Get up. Why is he telling you to get up? Because he don't want to leave you down. He doesn't want to leave you in the place that will keep you bound to your sin. And if you think, well, Jesus don't see my sin. No, he sees it. But the judgment doesn't come against it now because of his blood. Oh, he sees it. He knows it. He's all knowing. But he's there shedding his blood for you. For you. So that you won't be judged by it. Now watch this. Psalms 110. 110. Psalms 110. Take a left. Go back a little bit. You'll see it. Psalms 110, verse 1, the NIV says, the Lord says to my Lord. Okay, hold on now. Did you read that? The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Well. Psalm is written by David, King David. And he's saying, the Lord says to my Lord. He's saying, God says to my Lord, sit here, son. Till I make your enemies your footstool. Come on, you don't hear me. Y'all just don't want me to preach. Sit here until I make your enemies your footstool. We have to get up, Popo, so that we can get to the position to put our feet on the neck of our oppressor. On the neck of those that are coming against us. On the neck of that enemy that wants to keep us bound and disgusted about our issues. Watch this. Because if you don't realize the issue that you have, you'll never overcome it. So he'll lie to you and say, you ain't got it, but you got it. Yeah. God, I ain't got no issues with pornography. You were just on it. But I can quit anytime I want. Just got to finish out my subscription. We'll make all kinds of excuses to say that it don't have us. I have control. No, the enemy will get you to think that you don't have that issue. But the reality is God wants to show you that there is that issue. And he wants to extract it out of you to make you whole. Amen. Amen. Pastor, I don't look at pornography. No, but you're bitter as all get out. That's an issue. You're mean as a goat. Billy goat is that. Being mean is not what you're wearing of Christ. Well, I got anger issues. Good. Manage the anger. Manage it. Take control over it. Yes. Oh, but it's only because someone made me mad. It's righteous indignation. No, it ain't. It's because you're bitter, you're mad, you're ugly, and you're mean. No one likes to be around you. Nobody wants to be your friend. Huh? Why? what you're wearing. He wants to show you so he can deal with that, so he can remove it. But if you don't remove it, it becomes a part of you, just like the man that had the mat. But now he says, get up. Get up. Pick up your mat. In other words, pick up your issue. Pick it up. And be on your way. We have to see that there's an issue there. But he's going to make your enemies your footstool so you can step on him. So you can step on that issue and you can sit at the right hand of Jesus, enthroned with God. And at the right hand of Jesus is all power and authority and blessing. And when you sit there knowing that you're not in your circumstance no more, because he told you to stand up so you can sit down. He got you up out of your circumstance so you can sit down with him, so he can make all your enemies your footstool. He's going to take away all that lust, because he's going to make that enemy your footstool. He's going to take away the cocaine habit, because he's going to make that enemy your footstool. He's going to take away all of your voyeurism. He's going to make that your footstool. He's going to take away the lies, the deceit. He's going to take away the thieving. He's going to take everything and make it your footstool. And the one that wants to come against you and slander you and backbite you and lie about you is going to be your footstool. He's getting you up to sit you down right at his side. He's talking about position. Position yourself with Christ in the heavenlies so you can see your perspective. Come on now, come on. You may be in a circumstance right now that's not favorable to what your liking is, but maybe it's favorable for the outcome of where you're going. It don't feel good. But maybe when you're growing, your bones begin to ache. Your body begins to ache. In your growth, pain comes. There's no difference when you're in church. You think you've got issues. Get successful. You'll have real issues. Yeah, yeah. You think you got jealousy now? You think you got people coming against you now? Get successful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Get so successful they start to hate you and they don't even know you. Start to judge you. They've never been around you. They begin to paint a picture of you, but they've never met you. They begin to just say all kinds of things about you to frame your identity, and you've never even been in their presence. But that's what happens, is when God begins to favor you and he begins to make your enemies your footstool, the only thing they can do is look up and see you enthroned with Jesus. What are you wearing? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm coming down with something. Watch out. I'm contagious. Isaiah 52 and verse 7 reads like this out of the King James. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them that bring good tidings, that publishes peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that saith unto Zion the good, the God, thy God reigneth. How beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. How beautiful are the feet of those on the mountain that bring good news. Don't bring me news when you're in your valley. Because when you're in your valley, what you're going to bring me is your valley. What you're going to bring me is how you got there. What you're going to bring me is your attitude while you're there. What you're going to bring to me is attitude, attitude, attitude. I need someone that's been in altitude, altitude, altitude. Huh. Give me someone that has been up at the mountaintop with Jesus, spent some time with Jesus, and came back down the mountain, that was bringing good news, not news that is going to hurt me, that's going to desert me, and leave me stranded. Good news is going to give me encouragement to understand you can make it through. This ain't the end of the line. This is just the beginning of where you're going. I need to know, do I have some people that are coming down with something? Are you coming coming down with something? Are you coming down with good news? Are you coming down with something that's contagious? Are you coming down with something that will touch somebody and make somebody feel happy about their circumstance? I'm contagious with the good news. I'm contagious with something that's good to you, that will help you. And if you don't like it, it's because you're not used to being around people with good news. You're used to being around people with attitude. You ever had someone walk up to you? You already like... Back up now. Now I ain't gonna tell you. Have you ever felt that way? Give me that God. Whatever. I know you got something for me. Here it comes. I ain't getting no word? Yeah, I told you to get up. Hold on to the last word I spoke to you. What'd you do with the last one? You always looking for another one? You ain't never finished the first one? Get up. Let me get you to perspective to let you know that he's trying to get you to a place in him that there's completion. There's fulfillment. And there's not a void. Understand? When there's a void, we run to something to fill it with. What are you doing with the last word? How beautiful. How beautiful. The feet. What you carry. What you carrying on you. What kind of news are you taking with you? Are you taking attitude? Are you taking altitude? Because when you go to altitude with Jesus, what many people call the glory realm, many began to coin the phrase the third heaven, began to say that I've been in the realm of the Spirit that I haven't been yet in a very long time. But when you come out, what are you bringing? Are you just going for yourself? Wrong attitude. Are you going to get people to get to that altitude? Right attitude. Beautiful, beautiful. The feet of those. Why do you say feet, not the mouth? Because good news has to be carried within. Within. Oh, yeah. Coming into Christmas now, are we not? Yeah, and this coming Sunday, you'll celebrate Christmas here for the house of manna. Mary was a teenager. Who got impregnated by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. There we go, young again. Got impregnated by the Holy Ghost and spoken by the angel saying, you have found favor with the Lord, and you will bear forth the child. You shall call him Emmanuel. God is with us. And his name shall be called Jesus, for he is the Messiah. Good news was deposited. Whew. Here's truth. What happens is that Mary, at her young age, goes across this valley that Isaiah is writing about right now. How beautiful are the feet of those on the mountain that bring good news. He's speaking of this particular valley that she's running through, bringing the good news that she's carrying Jesus. Gets now to the elder. Gets to her relative Elizabeth that was barren, that could not produce, but is now also pregnant. So we have a young generation impregnated with good news, and we have an older generation that couldn't produce, now producing. Now he has bridged the gap from generation to generation with good news. But here's what it says when Mary just greets Elizabeth, is that the baby within her leaped. Are you bringing good news? Are you contagious with the good news? Are you contagious with what God has done for you, knowing that it's got you out of something? Or do you have a testimony within you that is going to bring about a change for somebody else? Because if he did it for one, he'll do it for another. He's not a respecter of person. He's going to do it. What are you carrying with you? Are you coming off the mountain? Are you coming down with something? Are you just going up and not bringing anything with you? Go up, bring something down, bring the good news, and carry that thing to the next person that needs that good news. I'm coming down with something. Watch out. I'm contagious. I'm contagious. My circumstance doesn't tell me that I don't have good news. He is the good news. He is the gospel of hope, truth, and life for eternity. I may have a circumstance that does not look favorable to me right now, but I know one thing. I carry good news. I carry good news deep down inside of me that when I greet you, the baby that's inside of you, that could have been dead and dormant for a long time, that you weren't producing because you were barren. You didn't produce anything in your ministry. You didn't produce anything in your home group. You didn't produce anything when you were trying to do deliverance ministry. You didn't produce anything when you were prophesying. You didn't produce in your business. You didn't produce in your marriage. Maybe something failed, but when somebody brings good news to you and they greet you, what's going to happen when that baby comes back to life? When that thing just comes right back to life again and it leaps for joy because good news stepped right in. Maybe you had a failed marriage, but maybe someone brought good news saying there is hope in Jesus that he is the restorer of those that seek him. Maybe you lost a business or lost some money in the business. He can come through and somebody can just bring you hope with the good news that Jesus is the redeemer of those that trust him. He is your redeemer. He is your kinsman redeemer. He is the one that is going to bring your family into the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. And when you bring good news, he's going to change the circumstance. Change the circumstance and everything. Either by your responses you're tired, or your responses are you just thinking about everything you're going through because you're not responding the way I'm saying it. But it's all good to me because it's good news to me. It's good news to me. And the Lord says, son, I got you more than you ever know. And when they come against you, get up so you can sit down. When you sit down with me, I'm going to show you who you are. Maybe you've lost sight of who you are. Maybe you lost sight of why you're here. Many go on their life and never even realize what their purpose is. And they take that to the grave. Sad, but true. Watch this. Isaiah 52 and verse 9 and 10. This is what he says. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Did you see what it said? It says, burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem. How many of you have a hard time shouting for God, praising God in your ruins? Huh? But he's telling his people, oh, you better shout for joy and praise me, even in your ruins. Don't matter what it looks like. Don't matter if you ain't got the clothes that you want. Don't matter if you ain't got a vehicle. Don't matter if you ain't in the house that you want that you've been claiming for so long. It don't matter if you ain't got all the clothes that needs to fit you right. It don't matter. It's in your ruins that you praise him. It's easy to praise God when he's blessed you. But can you bless him and praise him when you ain't got your breakthrough yet? I challenge you here and now, and I exhort you in view of God's mercies, learn to praise God before you get blessed. Praise God in the midst of what you're going through. Praise God in the midst of what is coming against you, your loved ones, what you've been in, you're not going to be in. Praise him in your ruins. Lift up a shout, lift up a joyful noise unto the Lord, for He is God all by Himself. He will bring an end, an utter end to this infirmity that has come against you. He is your Redeemer, and all the nations shall see the salvation of Almighty God. Praise Him in your ruins. Praise Him when you thought it wasn't going to come through, because it ain't over. It ain't over. There is something that God is saying. Are you contagious? Are you contagious with good news? Bring hope to a dying world. Bring hope to a people that seem that there is no hope. Bring hope. Hope. Not curses, but blessings. And if you ain't got nothing nice to say, shut your mouth. People don't like to hear it like that no more, Michael. They want to hear all the different points and give me all the sermon, the sermonette, the closing, the benediction, and do your altar call. Baby, the altar's always been open. Nobody ever shut it. You can't get here on your own, then there's something wrong. You don't really want to get changed. The altar has never been an altar call that has always had to be at the end. How about we do it in the middle of the sermon? How about we just say, God, I need you now. I don't care if he's preaching. I need you to come through my circumstance because I can't make it no more. I need good news to come to me. I need the feet of Jesus to walk into my circumstance. I need him to come down to me right now, right in the dirt, because I feel like I'm dirt. But he will even rise up and stand up himself. God, I need you now. The altar's never been closed. The altar's always been open. Come on. Tired of this religious folks to say, you got to do it this way, got to do it that way, got to do it this way, and then do casting it and get souls saved. My question is, when are they going to want to do something that they've never done before to achieve something they never had?
Yes.
Shoot. Make me preach hard like this. Preach hard like this. The altar call should be, as Lord, help me with my stubbornness. Help me with my pride. Help me with the issues that I just don't want to surrender to you. If he says in his word, even the elite won't even know the difference. Lord, I don't need no more prophetic. I don't need no more healing. What I need is discernment. That discernment is to discern what is coming in. So I can discern the lives and the disposition of the people that you've entrusted me. I have to answer to God for you. I do. I saw many people can come into the church, take people out, think nothing of it. Careful. Because when I go to God to answer to God, I have to answer for what is being spoken, containing the word. Not how I said it. Maybe you didn't like it. Maybe you don't like the way I preach. Maybe you just don't like the fact that God is speaking to you, but you don't want to surrender. It's truth. Because I didn't want to surrender. I didn't want to change. What for? My destiny is in my hands. I control my destiny. I can do what I want to do, and I can make things work for me. He'll take the breath right out of you. You ever lost your breath? It's the hardest fight you'll ever fight, is to get one breath. I'm trying to tell you, God wants us to understand He came to do away with tradition. He came to get the religious mindsets out of church, to bring about a relationship in the church. How come the greatest miracles were always performed out in the open to confine the religious? And when he would come into the synagogue and he performed miracles, they came against him because they didn't allow the Spirit of God to move. We're not here to segregate. We're not here to separate. We're here to unite. We unite for the cause of Jesus Christ and the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But woe unto those that bring these precious little ones away from him. That's what the Bible says. We've got to understand something. The enemy is trying to get you down. But Jesus is saying, get up and sit down. going to get you up out of your circumstance, and he's going to sit you down. Amen. Nowadays, we can't even tell people, sit down. Oh, I got ADHD, whatever. That's why I can't sit still. We had all kinds of names, all kinds of diseases nowadays. The truth of the matter is, you just put a whoop into that individual and you begin to speak, stay consistent, and begin to speak truth with love and dignity towards God, and you will see the individual change. I don't minimize that. I don't minimize that you may be struggling with something. But when we become so dependent on something else other than Jesus, you have made that an idol. Pick up that mat. Get up and walk. And walk. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Josh. You can honestly say to yourself, Father, I just thank you that you're speaking. And you're speaking to my circumstance. You're speaking to my spirit, man. That you're guiding me. You're teaching me. You're exhorting me. And you're convicting me to give what needs to be given to you so that I can change what needs to be changed. Some of my deliverance must be walked out with you, not alone, with you. But sometimes I just need to trust that I got to be alone. And as I'm alone with you, God, you can begin to do a work in me. Father, I just thank you right now for each and every individual that is represented here under the sound of my voice. That the Spirit of the living God goes forth and touch that precious area of their life that is in need of you to touch. When the woman that had an infirmity that was bent over, doubled over for 18 years, you came to her and you touched her and she stood up. Father, I need you to touch them in that area that may have had them bound for years, maybe just a couple of weeks. But your precious Spirit, God, knows all things. For it is the Holy Spirit that teaches us and guides us in all truth. Let the truth of the Spirit of the living God go forth and touch right now that very area of their life, Father, that will bring about change, that will get them up to sit down at the right hand of the Father, to be at the very epicenter of who you are. You are the power, the authority, and the blessing. And Father, I thank you that your word says that you will sit me at your right hand and make all of my enemies my footstool. When I accepted Jesus Christ into my personal life as my personal Lord and Savior, I have received all of Christ in me. The same Christ that sits at the right hand of the Father now resides in me. I have altitude, not attitude. I have the ability to go up, to see down, to go back down, to bring good news. Convict their hearts, Lord. Convict their souls. Bring them one step closer to you for their total deliverance. Father, some are running unto the altar to get changed by you, God. Some are just going to take their time with you. But you know, God, you're the God. You're the great physician. You know how to work this out with them. You have your way, Holy Spirit, in their life. And whatever turmoil that is taking place in someone's home right now, with the screaming, the shouting matches, and not coming into total agreement and being disrespectful, silence that voice right now in the name of Jesus. And let that be known that Jesus rules in their life, in His Lord. Father, I just thank you right now that there'll be peace in their homes. I thank you that as they lay themselves down to sleep tonight, that there'll be peace in their sleep. But they'll be able to hear you, receive you, and listen to you in their sleep. Because they're so busy that you speak to them in their dreams, open visions, and when they awake, oh God, they're waking up to a precious, new, and wonderful day that you created just for them. Let us seize the opportunity now. I thank you, God, for everything that you're doing in the lives of your people, the church. But more importantly, Father God, for those that do not know you, let us be those that carry good news. Let us be the ones that are contagious to infect them with the good news of Jesus Christ. Call it what it may, God, whether evangelizing or just being Jesus Christians that truly love you and wear you everywhere we go. Not just in church, but everywhere we go. That people can come to us and say, you're not that person I run away from. You're the person I look for so I can come and talk to. Because you carry hope and good news. Touch their lives. Change, transform, and bring about total healing in every area of their life and make them whole, God. Father, I thank you for each and every individual in this house tonight. I thank you for those listening by the podcast. I thank you that they feel the anointing of Almighty God through the message. Your word has no boundaries, God. And I thank you that someone will give their life to Jesus, this time from their heart, and not just because the preacher told them to. Father, I thank you in advance. I thank you that people are coming to the knowing knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. And in this very season of Christmas, Father, let them know that Jesus is the reason for this season. And it's not just another holiday, God. It's a daily event that we are to share every day of our life. Father, I thank you that we share the good news. The present is because we were in your presence. So, Father, I thank you. And I bless what you're doing in the lives of your people. And I thank you for the fruit that shall come forth. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and all of God's children said amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know we have to do tithes and offering and all that good stuff.